Good morning to each of you. It is my privilege to be able to be here today. And I pray that God will speak to you from His Word and that you will be able to take His Word home with you. And you will not necessarily be thinking about my mistakes or my blunders or whatever, but that God will use His Word to speak to your life and your needs. I did want to make a comment about the disaster relief training that is coming up. There are several places around the state, and I think the one that is mostly would be interested for you, and that is at First Baptist Church Madison on June the 5th, beginning in the morning on June the 5th. That's a Saturday morning. And you'll want to be talking to Brother Timmy, and I think the church office will have more information, more specific about that. But one of the things about the disaster relief training is it does prepare people to be working together and being mindful of other teams working. And normally at the same time when teams go out, they are trained to have a sense of spiritual awareness of those around them. I might just add that this past week, my mother-in-law had some difficulties last week with a tornado in her yard. And a week before last now. And so some men who came from designated by the Disaster Relief of Mississippi Baptist came and helped clean up her yard. And at the same time, they were aware of and making contact with neighbors who also needed some help. And so they took opportunity not only to do the physical labor to assist in these needs, but they also took the opportunity to share a word of God in Christ with these people. And so this is a part of disaster relief, is sending teams out to do many things. Many times it's preparation for meals for teams that go out, especially on long-term situations. The Mississippi Baptist has feeding teams that go out to different occasions. And I think I heard this week that there are several places around Mississippi this week where disaster relief has been, assistance has been needed. And so a part of your cooperative program giving does not pay these people, but it helps pay for the expenses of some of these events that are going on in buying equipment and or serving meals and things like that. And so you can be mindful of praying for whenever there's a disaster. I noticed just right down the street here, you might say not really a disaster, but nonetheless quite a difficulty with the tree that had fallen across the road. And you multiply that by several situations where homes are affected. Again, in the neighborhood where my mother-in-law lives, trees fell across the house of a neighbor, and two large oak trees, and the children were actually asleep in the bedroom where the tree came in. And so there are things like this that Mississippi are doing, Mississippi Baptist are doing to minister to people in needs. And so you can be praying about that. Every time there are storms around, you can pretty well know that somebody from associations or churches and or Mississippi Baptist are moving all over the state. One of the men that came to help this past week said he had been doing this for 16 years. And he had even gone out on his own and purchased personally equipment. When I say equipment, I'm not talking about a chainsaw. I'm talking about one of these skiff loaders that will pick up a trunk, a tree trunk as tall as I am and this big around, and move it out of someone's yard. And so these are the kind of things that go happen during these storms. But the training is important to help certify people so that when they go into an area, they can be approved. They will be given approval by police or those who might be guarding the area. You'll be getting a certificate with a badge that shows that you have been trained properly in liability issues and concerns about property issues. And so do be in prayer for these trainings that are coming up, that the people who are called to the Lord indeed is a sense of calling. It's not just a matter of just going out there and just doing just anything, but it's making sure that when you do what you do, you're not causing other damage or offending someone else or being hurtful physically to other people. And so you want to be praying about that. And then next Saturday morning at 9 o'clock, most of you are aware of the City Light Church that was started here in downtown Vicksburg, a multi-ethnic situation, church ministry in downtown Vicksburg, in which they are part of our association, and they are a growing ministry in the area. Next Saturday morning, they're having a cleanup day. They have purchased a new building, a warehouse, and they're working on this building to prepare it for worship and study and ministry in the city of Vicksburg. And so next Saturday morning at 9 o'clock, they're going to have a cleanup time in which you're all invited to come and help them clean up and this new facility that they have. And, you know, they're about, I'm not sure how many people they are enrolled, but I've been there in services with them, and I would say sometimes they're 20, 24 people, including children. And so they would be encouraged by your help if one or two of you could come. Some of it will be cleaning up, and they did mention to me there might be some painting that needs to be done, but I don't know that they'll be doing that next week. They said it depended on how many people come and what all they can accomplish in the cleanup that would prepare the possibilities for doing some other things. So just want to encourage you about that. And then, of course, be praying for Dr. Rankin and his family as they travel. And then also I want to mention to you, I talked with Brother Charlie just this week, and he was talking about the ministry in Canada. And they are still, you know, we're finding freedom where we're kind of all sitting around here, for the most of us, not having to wear a mask, and some wearing masks, and that's okay, however you feel led or choose to do that. But there, they have no choice. They cannot even meet together. And in fact, Brother Charlie shared with me that some of the churches where pastors maybe didn't insist, but nonetheless led some worship services, the pastors were being threatened or even being put in jail. And the people who came to assist the church service were being fined. And so this is the kind of thing that they're having to face. This is a situation they're having to face in trying to reach others and minister to others in the name of Jesus Christ. So they're having to do it online. And he did share with me that they've had some people, some visitors online making contact with them. And so do pray that God will work in his spoken word, in his preached word, and taught and proclaimed. A lot of what we'll be talking about today will be focusing on God's word and God's truth. And the focus of my preaching and my message today is going to be taken from Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, I'll be focusing particularly on the whole book itself, but I want to be looking in more in particular in just a few moments at chapter 1, verses 9 through 14. But before I get into that, I want to begin at verse 1 down to verse 8 to read this to get us started on this. Colossians chapter 1, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by God's will, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints in Christ at Colossae, who are faithful brothers, grace to you and peace from God our Father. We always thank God, the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you. We have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love that you have for all the saints, because of the hope reserved for you in heaven. You have already heard about and the hope in the message of the truth of the gospel that has come about in you. It is bearing fruit. It is growing all over the world, just as it has among you since the day you first heard it and recognized God's grace in His truth. You learned this from Epaphras, our dearly beloved fellow slave. He is a faithful servant of the Messiah on your behalf, and he has told us about your love in the Spirit. Let's pray together. Dear God, as we come to read these passages of Scripture, we realize that we too are a part, those who are believers in Jesus Christ, are a part of those who have heard the message, who have received the message, and proclaiming the message, and living according to the message of Christ. We thank you, dear God, for the fellowship that you allow us to have with one another. We thank you, dear God, for the encouragement that we can have by being together, singing hymns together, praying to you together, testifying with one another in our presence, in our words, and in our deeds. Being able to read from your word saying, yes, this is what I believe, this is what I stand for, this is what I declare in my life, my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Now, Lord, we know that not any of us are perfect. We know that not any of us have earned the right to salvation, but we are chosen by you, and we have accepted you and your graces and your mercy. And so we thank you today. We do want to again acknowledge our sin. We want to say, dear God, that we are sorry for our sins. We want today, dear God, to say, would you help us, correct us, show us those things in our lives that hinder us from following you and being your children, as we should. And then, Lord, if there are those who are struggling today, who are truly having problem with their faith, or maybe those, dear God, who have turned away from you or who have ignored you, I pray, God, that you would speak to their hearts today and you would let your words of truth speak to them and the power of your Holy Spirit would change them and make them what you'd have them to be, that you would renew in them life, joy, and peace and restored relationship in Jesus Christ. For it is in the name of Jesus I pray. Amen. So we find in this passage of Scripture in the very beginning here, the idea that Paul is thankful for these people. He's glad for them. He is trying to remind them, and he's saying, I'm telling you why I'm glad for the hope that you have. And I realize that this hope that you have is like you have a reservation for yourself in heaven. I was thinking about this as I was preparing the message today, and I was thinking, we all like to take vacation. We all maybe like to go and do some things somewhere else. But I confess that one of the hindrances I have about traveling is I always like to know where I'm going to light at night, where I'm going to stop and be able to lay my head. And I think that comes from when I was a child growing up, I would be traveling with my family, and we didn't often travel, but sometimes we did, and sometimes some of those travels would lead us to have to stay overnight. And I remember one time we were traveling. I think we had my grandparents with us and my aunt, and there was my mom and dad and myself. And we were traveling along, and I don't remember from any of my other brothers. I have three older brothers, and so don't remember if they were any of those with us. I don't believe they were, but that's neither here nor there. But you can know the group that we're talking about. And so we were driving along, and so somebody says, well, I guess we need to start thinking about where we're going to stay. Now, this is before social media, okay? This is before cell phones. And so the only way you could find a place to stay, I guess, if maybe we never called from home to make hotel reservations or motel reservations before we ever left. We would just stop along the road and we'd say, "Do you have a room?" And so many times, or sometimes they might have a room, but you know what? It's too expensive. We didn't think, or my parents or whoever was making the choice, didn't think we could all afford to stay there. And of course, you're dealing with my grandparents and then my aunt and then my parents. And so you had three different ones saying, "Well, you know, maybe I could, maybe I couldn't." But the other would say, "Well, no, I can't." And so you have to deal with that. Well, Paul here in writing to the in Colossians was telling them, I understand about the hope you have. You know, that is something that we need to be aware of, is we do have a hope in Jesus Christ. We do have a reservation in Jesus Christ. That is a hope. And many of you, under the sound of my voice today, realize that for us, this is a pleasure to stop and think, you know, we do have hope in Jesus Christ. Not only do we have hope of a reservation in Jesus Christ, we have hope in that the price is paid. And not only do we have hope in the price is paid, but we, in knowing Him, can trust Him that what He says has been done. Sometimes we come across people. I saw something the other day, and this man was talking to me about doing something in my yard. I was asking about doing some yard work in my yard, and he said, "Oh yeah, I'll come do this." And he started telling about all he was going to do, and he said, "And I'm telling you, it's guaranteed for life." And I said, "Whose life?" He said, "Well, my life." And I said, "Okay, thank you." And, you know, when I kind of pinned him down on that, all of a sudden he kind of backed up, and I thought, okay, he's trying to sell me this, and he might do a good job, but ultimately I did not really feel real good about what he was telling me. So, and besides that, I wasn't sure I wanted to pay the price either. So, but the guarantee just did not make me feel too good. But the message that we find from Paul today to the Colossians, we find that in Christ we have the promise. And the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ is very important for us to all realize, take note of, and to maybe consider where we are in relationship to that gospel of Christ. As we look at this message, there are some things that I would like to now look at as we look at verses 9 through 14 in Colossians chapter 1. He says, "For this reason also, since the day we heard this, we haven't stopped praying for you. We are asking that God may be, that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, so that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work and growing in the knowledge of God. May you be strengthened in all power and according to His glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father, and who has enabled you to share with other saints," or in the saints, "the inheritance in light. He has rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into His kingdom of the Son, the one He loves. We have redemption, the forgiveness of our sins in Him." Here Paul is saying in this second section here, he's saying, you know, Christ is the answer. Christ is the answer. He says He is the answer for you to be filled with the knowledge and the wisdom, with spiritual understanding. He's not just talking about having information in your mind. He's talking about understanding what that information might mean. The joys and the privileges that you will have as have a faithful follower of Jesus Christ. He is talking about the answer in Christ and that we will be able to walk worthy of our Lord, pleasing Him, serving Him, bearing fruit. He talked about the fruits being borne out in their lives and in the lives of anyone who is a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm here to tell you today that I can share with you about my wife and I having served in international missions. We too have been to different countries in Western Europe. And there are many people who are living out their faith in Jesus Christ. We also find that He wants them to be strengthened. Strengthened according to the power of God that lives in them. That they might be enduring in their faith and lasting in their faith and not walking in darkness, not walking in blindness, not walking around helpless. Again, we think about the hope that we have in Jesus. And we'll talk a little bit more about how that hope can come about. Giving thanks. He talked about giving thanks, enabling them to share as equals, rescued from darkness, transferred into life with the Son, redemption and salvation from hell. As we look at this, I would like for us to think about, first of all, who He was. Who is Christ? This might not be anything so startling to you, but we must realize that there are a lot of people in this world today who do not believe in God. People who do not believe in Jesus. People who do not believe in His Word. People who do not believe in following Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. One of the things that we tried to do in living overseas and working with people was to share with them our faith in Jesus Christ based upon the Word of God, the Bible. And many times people would say to me, "Oh, well, what makes that true any more than any other good book?" And it comes down to who Christ is. I realize many times it's not because I said it that made it right. It's because or taught it right. It's because of who Jesus Christ is. And so I would say to you today, our faith, the way we live and the way we exist every day depends on who He is. Now, when I say depends on who He is, it's not because of who He is. It's because of who we think He is. I remember reading a book back many years ago, and one of the statements it made in that book, and I'm not so sure it wasn't the title of the book, it says, "How big is your God?" And in that book, it refers to the fact of how well we follow God and how well we follow the teachings of God's Spirit and God's law and God's Word depends on how important God is to us. And so as we look at this passage of Scripture, the next verses in chapter 1, verse 15, Paul begins to expound to the children there in that, to the children of God in that church at Colossae. He begins to refer to them and talk to them about the image of Jesus Christ. He said He is the image of the invisible God. Why would he say that? Well, this refers back to the old tradition and the old teaching in the Old Testament was no one had ever seen God. No one could ever see God and live. That was a part of the teaching and the practice in the Old Testament. Here Paul is trying to say that's no longer the case, totally. The case now is we can know God through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has come to reveal who God is. In the way He lives, and the way He thinks, and the way He wants us to live, and the way He wants us to be and have our being. He talks about the fact that He was the firstborn. He was the firstborn in time of creation. At the time of creation, He was there. You remember at the time of creation, In the Genesis, he said, let us make man in our own image. Jesus was already there. John, in his writing, he says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus was already there. And he talks about in that passage of Scripture, in following verse 15, he talks about the fact that he is over all things, and he created all things. By him, everything was created. He didn't just talk about, and we think about things being created, we think about physical things. Flowers, animals, birds, people. But he's saying everything. I was thinking about this machine that this man was driving the other day. And now it's operated by hydraulics. Years ago, you used to have to, same way with airplanes. Airplanes have a lot of electronics and hydraulics now. Years ago, flying an airplane was much more difficult mechanically in some ways because, you know, you had this steering wheel or guide controls that you use, but it was controlling cables when you turned the wheel to make the plane fly directional. It would pull on cables that would pull on the wings. Did you know that? You probably didn't know that. Okay. Now, many times it's electronics and hydraulics. It's like you just touch a button, and because you touch that button, it sends electricity somewhere and makes a motor turn, and that motor turn makes this liquid pass around and puts pressure on the wing and makes the wing move. Now, that's kind of simple in some way, and maybe too complicated either to really understand. But what I'm trying to say is God created all that. He gave man the ability to figure all that out. We don't stop and realize the skyscrapers, the chairs. How is it you sit in that chair and it doesn't fall flat on the floor? Or how is it you sit in that chair and it doesn't do this? You ever tried to cut legs off of a chair and make it shorter? You ever try to do that? Try it sometime. You'll end up having a chair that'll do this. If you get it low as you want it, it'll end up being rocking around if you don't know how to properly measure it and properly cut it. Now, that's a simple thing. But God gave man the ability to figure all these things out. This virus. Now, this is a blessing and a miracle that God gave man the ability to figure out how to combat this. And how to combat this virus originated by a woman from Turkey and not an American. It was a woman who immigrated to Germany with her parents. Years ago, she became the scientist that helped develop the first vaccine against this virus with the company Pfizer. God has given us all the ability to figure things out like this and to understand how we need to live and to be. But in Him, not only did He do those kind of things, in Him and through Him, all things are created. Powers, dominions, thrones, visible and invisible, in heaven and on earth. You think about the prayer that he said, our Father which art in heaven, let thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God is at work bringing about and wants to bring about his work on earth as it is in heaven. Everything exists and has its purpose and its worth in God as a creator. But that is also true in the church. We don't just sing music. We sing music to God. We express ourselves in collective worship as we sing hymns together or songs together that talk about the revelation of God in Jesus Christ. We find that He is the head of the church. He is the final authority. One of the things that that we dealt with in Europe was that there were a lot of people, you'd say, well, are you a Christian? And you know what they would say? Oh, well, yeah. And they would name the church that they'd go to. And as we delved into it, we began to discover behind what they were saying was, I'm in right relationship with the church, so therefore, I'm a Christian. And in a lot of ways, that's what the church taught them, the church that they knew. There may be some of you under the sound of my voice today, and you've maybe heard it, I've heard it, and maybe, you know, sometimes I've even flippantly just kind of said it, not thinking about the assumption or the presumption that is behind the statement. You ever ask anybody if they're a Christian, and they ever say, oh, well, yeah, I'm Baptist. I'm a member of that church down there. You ever heard that? That's exactly what that's saying without really thinking about it. It's like, my name is on the roll at the church, and because it is, I'm a Christian. If that's what you believe, biblically, you are wrong. Biblically, you are wrong. You are not saved because you're a member of this church or any other church. Jesus Christ is the authority. He is the purpose. He is the reason that we have our being and that we live. And so we find that He is the image of God for the world and for the church. He is the leader. He is the firstborn. Talked about being the firstborn. Jesus was the firstborn of the new creation, the new people of God. His death and His resurrection, He was the newborn, the firstborn of the new people and the revelation of God. So what has He done? We find in 2 Corinthians 5:19, we find that Jesus Himself, being the answer, He is the answer because God chose Him to do a work of reconciliation. That work of reconciliation, first of all, He says, He has taken away, in 2:14, He says, He has taken away the certificate of death. Now, it's kind of like I was talking about going to that hotel a while ago. You know, it's kind of like, okay, you come stay in this hotel. Well, how much do we owe? You don't owe me anything. Now, that's one side of it. Another side of it is, you ever have anybody do anything to you? And your first response is, I'll get you. God doesn't do that. God doesn't have to do that. God has no need to do that. Because, sure, it might hurt God and cause Him pain in His person to be refused, to be rejected, for people to spit on Jesus Christ, His Son. But the real hurt comes for you and I and anyone else who refuses God in being rightly related with Him. Chapter 1, verse 12, He says, He enables us to share in the inheritance. He enables us. We're going to get around in just a minute about why is He insisting all of this. He has rescued us from the domination of darkness. You look over into the Gospels and it talks about the fact that men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. What that verse is trying to say is because they are practicing in darkness, they don't want to come to Jesus. They don't want to come to God because they don't want to have to admit that they're wrong. And so they are prisoners of that mindset. They are prisoners of that way of thinking. They are dominated. They cannot do otherwise. You ever try to change a diet? I like to eat things Well, some things sweet. My wife says, I think you have a different taste for certain things sweet and some things not so sweet. Because every time she ever eats anything, I say, oh, that's too sweet. She says, tastes just as sweet as something else. You say this, not very sweet. So I don't understand what you're talking about. You ever try to cut sugar? Now, some of you are doing it, and some of you have raised your hand if it's easy. It's not easy. I started back some time ago. I decided, you know what? If I eat something sweet, then I'm going to drink something not sweet. And that worked pretty good. Last year, I kind of started that last year during the pandemic, and I thought, well, you know, I'm going to try this. I'll just turn over a new leaf. And so every morning, if I got up in the morning and I would eat anything sweet, like toast with jelly or a sweet roll or something like that, I would drink coffee with no sugar. And at first, it was kind of bitter. And I decided a long time ago, I don't think I really like to drink coffee because I sure put a lot of cream and sugar in it. But anyway, I started doing that. And in the days, I would eat something salty for breakfast, like grits or something else like that without any kind of sweet to it. Then I'd put a little bit of sugar in my coffee. And then after a while, I just thought, you know what? I might as well just bite the bullet on this and just quit. So I quit drinking sugar in anything and tried to stay away from sweets as much as I could. But then I began to realize, any of you have ever experienced this, I began to realize how many times things you didn't even have a clue had sugar in it taste sweet when you eat it, when you quit eating sugar. I didn't know that. I mean, it's like everything. I realized years ago people cooked turnip greens and put sugar. I thought, what? Sugar and turnip greens? But it sure does taste good, doesn't it? Cuts that bitterness. Boy, it tastes good. Well, darkness. Domain of darkness. That's the way sin is in our lives. That's the way sin is for a person who is lost. They're in darkness. And we can walk in darkness. And only when we quit it do we realize how bad off we are. I remember growing up, I had an older brother. And he had an accident. And so he'd fallen on his face while skiing. Well, for years, he was kind of sneaking around smoking, and my mama didn't approve of it, and so he didn't smoke around my mom. And so he kind of acted like, well, you know, I can quit smoking, or when I don't get hooked on this. It doesn't bother me. Well, when he fell on those skis, he had to go to, his whole face was just swollen, so he went to the doctor, and the doctor told him, he said, Well, one thing, you're going to have to quit smoking because that smoking is irritating your sinuses and you're going to quit. Oh, okay. And then he realized how hooked he was. He could not quit smoking. I had somebody tell me a sad story here not long ago about a person that they knew who finally died of an overdose of drugs. Now, that's an extreme thing. I want you to know that I want to be very sympathetic. I don't understand people who get hooked on drugs until I start talking about things like my brother smoking or stop eating sugar. We can all get hooked on something, so we need to be very careful not to think that, and I'll use the word, not that those particular things are sin, but I'll use them as an example. One is just as wrong as the other if it's sin, no matter what it is. It can be a little thing, or it can be a big thing in men's eyes, but before God, if it's wrong, it's wrong. And so we find that this person said to me, he said, he just was totally taken over. His mind was burned, and he had no choice. It just killed him. That's sin. It will kill you. And you can reach a point where you have no control over it, and only God can help you deal with it. work of reconciliation. How does it affect us? First of all, we are raised to new life. We talk about the Spirit of God taking over. Paul talked about over here in 2 Corinthians, in Colossians chapter 2, he talked about the idea of circumcision. You see, one of the things that we think about many times in the idea of circumcision was that was actually a practice in physical awareness of a testimony of supposedly a spiritual commitment. That was what we call a foreshadowing of what was to come about in the work of the Spirit. And Paul says, we're not talking about somebody who says, okay, I go to church and I'm saved, kind of that equivalent. He says the circumcision was to do away with the things of the world so that you might live to the things of God. And Paul pretty well defines it in this passage of Scripture. He says, and it's not something that you can demand or you can ask for or you can control. It is by the work of God. And so he does a work of reconciliation that changes us, that affects us, that we will know his will, that we will become sensitive to his will, that we will enjoy being with fellow believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we will worship him and not each other. Sometimes I realize that Brother Colin might be aware of this, that sometimes we can all get to picking hymns and singing, well, I don't like this one, I like that one, I prefer this one. And you know what that ends up being? It begins being a debate over our preferences and not whether or not we are worshiping and singing to God. We recognize his truth. He speaks to us, and he speaks to us, and we are willing to do it because we want to and not because we have to. Look at the beginning of chapter 2, in verse 1 of chapter 2. He says, for I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you, for those in Laodicea, and for all who have not seen me in person. I want their hearts to be encouraged, joined together in love, so that they may all see the riches and be assured of understanding and have knowledge of God's mystery. Christ, the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, are all hidden in him. The message of Christ is hidden in the message of Christ. It is the gospel. You know, we struggle with a lot of things that are going on in our world today. Not sure where you are in it. I realized several weeks ago now, and been praying about it, that God would help me. I cannot save our country. You cannot save our country. We cannot save others. God can in Jesus Christ. And I would challenge you as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ and as believers collectively that we as Christians would do more praying for our country, asking God to help us to live the lives we need to live, because until people change their way of living, our country is not going to change. And the best way to live is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you for your love and your care. Thank you for your truth. I pray that you would speak to each of us. We all have different needs. We come from different places in this building, just as we come from different places in our lives. We all have likes and dislikes. Lord, the only way we can come together in you is to come together by your Spirit and the work of salvation in Jesus Christ. Would you lead us? Would you speak to our hearts now that we would come to you? In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Living for Jesus, a life. striving to please Him in all that I do, yielding allegiance, glad-hearted and free. This is the pathway of blessing for me. O Jesus, Lord and Savior, I give myself to Thee. For Thou in Thy atonement didst give Thyself for me. I own no other master, my heart shall be Thy throne. My life I give henceforth to live, O Christ, for Thee alone.
Amen. Thank you for joining us for worship this morning. Let's close now by singing the family prayer song.
As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord.